Now I want you to go to Psalm number 122. Psalm number 122. And I would say that's probably pretty familiar to most of us, Psalm number 122. It's something that you've heard, and I guess you've heard me preach on it, heard probably other preachers preach on those verses out of it. And it is a psalm that, it has some different things that we look at and that we talk about as far as the meaning and the understanding of it. But again, you know, we've been talking about this thing about the idea of being connected, and we're going to talk again this morning on that same idea and that same thought. And what I want to talk to you about this morning is the idea of being connected to God's house. Being connected to God's house. Now, I know we've talked about being connected through worship, and you know, that's certainly part of it. But I think part of being connected to the Lord is being connected to His house. Over in the book of Hebrews, we all know Hebrews 10 and 25, that the Bible says there that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And I'm telling you, as we just said a few minutes ago, you can certainly see the day of the Lord when Jesus is coming back to get His bride. Thank God it's approaching, right? I mean, it's getting close, it's getting near. So look here with me, though, if you will, in Psalm number 122, and it probably titled, if your Bible does that, it says, A Song of Degrees of David. A Song of Degrees of David. He says, I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, under the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, Peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again this morning. Thank you for your word, and thank you for all that you have shown us, all that you've given us. Now, just be a blessing in this time and in this day. May you get honor and glory and praise out of us. May you get worship this morning. May you be the centerpiece of everything. And, Lord, we're so glad that you are. And I pray, God, again, if there's somebody here and they need salvation, draw them to that place. Let them come to know you as Lord. And we'll just give you praise today. We'll give you thanks for everything you do. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. As I said, we're going to look at this idea again of being connected. And I just want you to realize we're connected through the house of God. When you read Psalm 122, there's a lot of facets to that, right? I mean, it's almost like looking at a diamond. And there's a lot of sparkly parts and a lot of beauty and a lot of good looks from it. And you can turn it and twist it in a lot of different ways, and you can see a lot of different things. As a matter of fact, you look at it, and just on the surface of it, it talks about the time of people going to the city of Jerusalem to worship the Lord. And I mean, really, on its surface, that's what it's all about. It's a song. It's a song to me about worship. It's a song about the Lord. It's a song about the place. It's a song about the land of Israel. I mean, it's just a good song in that general sense. But I think you and I can take it, and as we closely look at it, we can understand that it compares to the Lord's house today, to the church. And that's how I want you to view it with me, if you will. And let's just talk about a few things going on in this psalm and see what the writer David has to say. Now, just as you get started, notice this, if you will, as you look at these, and Psalm 120, and then flip on over, as you look through your Bible, you go down through Psalm 134, and all of those psalms are listed. If you have titles in your Bible, it will say A Song of Degrees, right? And there's 15 of them as you go 120 through 134, there's 15 psalms that are titled Songs of Degrees. The idea, the thought is this, that while the people of God were making their way to the house of God for the yearly feast that they were required to be at, that they would sing these songs at different points in that journey. They would sing it, the first song, maybe Psalm 120, they would sing that as they started out. And it was a remembrance of that life is tough and how that sometimes things happen and there are distresses, there are problems, there are issues, but we're going to press on anyway because the Lord's going to be our helper, right? And then you go to Psalm 121, and then you come to this one in Psalm 122 that we read. And then you go on through every one of them, and eventually each one of these leads you. It even is thought that it led you to the steps of the place of worship, the steps of the temple. And as they would take a step, sometimes they'd stop and sing one of these songs that's found in the Psaltery. I mean, they'd sing it, and they'd just stop. Everybody would stop. They'd sing that. Then they'd go another step, go to another area, whatever it was, and they would sing these songs. Psalm 122 is not necessarily the pinnacle of it. I believe that's Psalm 134, where it's just three verses, but man, it is praising God for being in his house. But here, David writes and says, when he starts out in Psalm 122, it's almost as if they've started the journey, and maybe now while they're on the journey, the writer says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Maybe they were right at the gates of the temple. Maybe they were somewhere before they got. But David begins to think about, boy, I sure am glad when they came by and invited me to go to church with them. Amen. And I'm telling you, sometimes me and you ought to be like that too. You ought to be glad you get to come to God's house. It ought to do some things for me and for you when we get to come to God's house. So with that thought in mind, being connected by going and getting ready to go and having involvement at the house of God, I want you to think about this. First of all, look at this psalm, and I want you to think about in the description of the house of God. First of all, it is a simple place. This place where we meet and worship the Lord, I want you to think of it as a simple place. It is just a simple place. When we come to this place, it's nothing extravagant. It's certainly more extravagant than some people have. But I want to tell you, I've been in some churches that were a whole lot less extravagant, where the lighting was just, you know, a few bulbs or whatever hung from the ceiling, where the doors were old and probably needed painting, needed some attention, where the pews were hard and not padded at all. I've been in some of those places. Some of you have too, right? We've been in those. But can I tell you something? When you get to the house of God, hey, brother, you know, it's a simple place, but thank God it is God's place when you get here. Amen? When you get here, this is the Lord's place. I want you to think about it, as I say, just being a simple place. First of all, when you think about this being a simple place, I want you to know when you come in here, it is a comforting place. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. There's a comfort that you should receive when you come into God's house. When you come in these doors and you get in this place, there ought to be something that sweeps over you that says, hey, I'm in a different place and this is a comforting place to me. When you get in here, you ought to be able to take a deep breath of a heavenly atmosphere where you come in and you sit down and people are singing songs and people are worshiping the Lord and you get to be in the midst, in the middle of every bit of that, and you're just here to praise and worship God. Amen? And that should be a comforting place and a comforting thought to you that you're in this place. I mean, look, you could be somewhere else. You could be down at the funeral home with your family member. I mean, you or a friend or whatever it is. Hey, you could be at the hospital. You could be at the jailhouse. You could be, I mean, in a whole lot of other situations. Maybe stove up in your own home. There's a whole lot of places. But thank God, aren't you glad you get to come to this comforting place? It's just a simple place, but thank God it's a comforting place today. Amen? It's a comforting place. But not only that, I believe this. When you come into the house of the Lord, we talk about it being simple. And to me, not only is it a comfortable place or comforting place, but it is a contenting place. You ought to come in here and find some contentment. Amen? You know that Paul writes in his writings over in the book of Philippians, he said, I found that whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. And, man, when you come in here, you ought to be content. Let me tell you about Paul. When Paul wrote those words, and he said, it doesn't matter where I am or what's going on, what circumstances, what issues are going on in my life. Hey, I can find myself content where I am, contented with what's going on. Paul was in a jail when he wrote those words. Paul had a shackle on each arm and a Roman soldier on either side of him. He was under arrest and in a prison and was limited in his confinement. But can you imagine a guy like that said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. He said, I found out wherever I am, whatever's going on, thank God I'm just going to be content. Amen? And can I tell you, when me and you come in this house, you ought to find it a comforting place, but you also ought to find this a contenting place. I mean, when you come in, man, you can be content that you're a child of God. You can be content that you're in the presence of other people of God. You can be content that the choir's going to sing a song that gives you something to lift your spirit and rejoice your soul, and that God's there hearing all of that, and the preacher's going to get up and read you out of the Word of God, and you're going to get a chance to worship Him that made everything that has been made. That ought to be a contenting thought to many of us. You ought to be content, man. I mean, well, preacher, I ain't got what everybody else got. Can I tell you, thank God, you've got heaven. You've got eternal life. You've got glories beyond. You've got everything that belongs to God. Hey, why can't you and I find ourselves in a place of contentment with what the Lord's done for us? Amen? So I think when David goes in, and when you read this, I don't hear him talking about, you know, kings and princes and the peasants and the lowly and the upper and the middle. I don't hear him mentioning any of those things. I mean, to me, you just see that he said, I'm glad I got to go to church with those that I got to go to church with. Amen? Didn't matter if there's upper crust, lower crust, middle of the bunch. Didn't matter what. Hey, can I tell y'all, we ought to be happy. I'm not trying to look at who's wearing what. I'm not trying to find out who's driving what out in the parking lot. I'm not trying to see whose bank account's what. Thank God I'm just glad to be here with y'all and we get to worship the Lord together. Amen. It's a contenting place. It's simple. It's comforting. It's contenting. And let me say that it is a congregating place. This is where the people of God ought to come together, at the house of God. You see what David says here? He says, he's talking about Jerusalem in verse 3. He said, Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. He said, whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, under the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. He said, it's where we congregate. In those days, the children of Israel were all required to go to the house of God in Israel, in Jerusalem, 3 times a year. There were 3 major feasts that every man, and usually they brought their families with them, but every man was commanded by the Lord that you appear at the temple to worship at these particular times. God gave them that command. And, you know, they went. And they went and they congregated together. Can I tell you, the Lord tells me and you the same thing. As I said in the Word of God in Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. He said, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approach. We ought to get together. We ought to encourage each other. We ought to come in and say, hey, brother, hey, sister, I'm glad to see you. I'm glad to pray with you. I'm glad to sing with you. I'm glad to shout with you. I'm glad to get in and just go to worship with you. Amen. That's what he said, the tribes of the Lord. But, you know, David didn't get around and said, well, you know, we're from the tribe of Judah and we can't have nothing to do with those over there from Benjamin. No, sir. He said, all the tribes get together. Amen. And I'm telling you, it is a shame when you go into churches like that, when it's like them and us. You ever been in one of them kind of churches? I hope not, but if you ever have, I've seen places where, you know, this side of the aisle and that side of the aisle, they didn't see the same. I mean, seriously, I remember Brother George Ashburn telling about, he was preaching a revival. It seemed like it was up near Crossville, Tennessee. I can't remember exactly, but he was up in Tennessee somewhere. He said, I went in. He said, I was going to have revival. He said, went in the first night. He said, it was like, he said, pulling teeth. I mean, it was just one of those things where you could feel the tension in the room. And he said, you could feel like those over here on the right didn't have anything to do with those on the left. He said, and I mean, he said, it was very evident. Wouldn't look at each other. Wouldn't smile at each other. Wouldn't give a holy grunt to each other. Amen? He said, well, that rocked on Monday night. And he said, man, it's tough. He said, Tuesday night, it was worse. Went in Tuesday night, this side, that side. And they wasn't looking, talking, touching. They wasn't doing nothing to each other. He said, man, something was just troubling me. It's an old country church. And he said they had one door in the back. He said, Wednesday night, we got up when it's preaching time. And I got up and I told him, I said, wait just a minute, y'all. He walked down the middle aisle of the church. He went back and he locked the door. He said, they ain't nobody coming in or going out until whatever's going on here gets settled. He said, there's something going on with y'all. He said, I don't know what it is. He said, I ain't got a clue. I ain't talked to nobody. But you can tell something's going on in this church. And he said, and I'm here at the door. You got to come through me if you want out. And he said, they just sat there. He said, I just stood there. And I said, somebody's going to have to do something. He said, pretty soon one of the ladies on this side got up. And she said, well, preacher, I'll tell you, sister so-and-so over on the other side over there said such and such about me, and she drug my name down, this, you know, just kind of low-rated me, all this stuff going on. And the other sister got up and said, now, wait a minute. I didn't do that. You misunderstood whatever so-and-so and so-and-so back in time. And they began to discuss it. And pretty soon, Brother George said, you could see that's where the issue was. He said, I walked down the middle aisle and said, sisters, you know what I think? I think we need to go down the altar and get that thing settled. And those ladies came down, and people from both sides of the church came down. They began to pray around the altar. He said, pretty soon, one of them two little old dear sisters looked up at the other and started shouting to heaven and said, sister, I'm sorry. The other one looked and said, no, it's my fault. I'm sorry. They began to hug and praise God and thank God. And then pretty soon, boom, meeting broke out. Amen. Amen. That's what I'm saying, man. Can I tell you, this is a congregating place. It's not a place for feuding and fussing and fighting. And it's not that. It's here to come together to worship the Lord God, no matter whatever may have went out. Amen. So it's a simple place. It's a simple place. But second of all, let me say this. Not only is this a simple place, this is a sacred place. I mean, do you hear how David talks about the city of Jerusalem? I mean, look what he says. Verse number 2, he said, our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city, compacted together. He said, it's where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel. Give thanks to the name of God. I mean, can you not see? He says, hey, boys, I want y'all to know, this is some holy ground that you're on right now. This is some holy ground. Do you know when you come in here, this is holy ground. Amen? Holy ground. I mean, listen, the Bible talks about over in the book of Exodus when the Lord visits Moses out in the wilderness, and he gets his attention by there's a bush that's burning and it's not consumed. And Moses says, I'll turn aside and I'll see this side. I'll look at this and see, this bush is burning, but it's not burning up. It's just sitting there and it's just flaming. There's something wild and weird about that, right? And as he's looking at it, the Lord begins to speak to him. And he tells him to remove his shoes because the ground that he's standing on is holy ground. Can I tell you, I believe when we come into this house, this is some holy ground. I mean, this is God's house. And can I tell you, that's why we don't treat this place like we treat any other place. Amen? Or you shouldn't. I mean, you don't come in here and throw your trash down. You don't come in here, doing what you do at your house and put your feet up on the furniture and just, you know, kind of be just casual and all that. No, this is a sacred place unto the Lord. It's been set aside for worship. It's been set aside for some special things. Thank God. Hey, I'm telling you, you and I are in a sacred place. Amen. We're here. And I want you to know, when you look at that, to David, I mean, it's so sacred. When he walks in, I believe, first of all, you can see that it's kind of an overwhelming place. David, in these first five verses, I said, he says, our feet's going to stand within Jerusalem. Jerusalem is like a city that's compacted together. The tribes go up. They go up to worship. Then in verse number five, he said, they're set thrones of judgment. The thrones of the house of David. I mean, when he's looking at it, it's as if he is really awestruck about what he said. It's overwhelming. Amen? You remember what happened to Isaiah in Isaiah chapter number 6? He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord high and lifted up. He said, and his train filled the temple, and the smoke was all over the place. And, you know, he saw the Lord and the cherubims over him saying, holy, holy, holy. I mean, he was in a place, and he was overwhelmed. I'm telling you, sometimes, and I wish that it was all the time, me and you'd come in this house, we're just absolutely overwhelmed because we're in the presence of a living God. I mean, when you come in here, it should be an overwhelming event, really, in your heart and in your life and in mine. This is an overwhelming place. I mean, David talks about how what kind of impression that it's made on him. He's like, man, look at this place. I just want y'all to look. Can I tell you, when you come into God's house, it ought to be like that. Just look at this place. The Lord's here, and the Lord's people are here, and the Lord's just to be worshipped and awed and honored and loved. Oh, all of that is here in the house of God. Amen? That's why it should be an impressive place. We should have that impression upon our souls. But I want to tell you, this ought to be an expressive place along with that. It ought to be a place where you and I are doing what they're doing. It says where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, under the testimony of God, to give thanks under the name of the Lord. You ought to be expressive when you get in here. You should be expressing your thanks, your praise, and your worship to a living God. I mean, it's overwhelming sometimes. But you know what? Sometimes you can just sit down and say, thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Woo, hallelujah. I mean, I don't know what to do. Amen. You go through your Bible in the Old Testament, and sometimes you run into those passages where somebody has met the Lord. You remember what Jacob said when Jacob laid down and he slept on that, had a pillow that was made out of a rock, and he said he dreamed, and there was a ladder, and it went up and down, and the angels were ascending and descending. All that stuff was going on. He said, surely this is the house of the Lord, and I didn't know it. Boy, you and I ought to come in here, and we ought to be overwhelmed with the fact that we're here, and we're in the midst of this place, and it's the Lord's house. I'm telling you, it ought to run some glory bumps on you. I mean, it ought to do something. You ought to have, you say, man, I'm about to have a fit, amen. There was an old guy that went to church with us out there on Sand Mountain. And whenever a man, the bucket get kicked over and the honey is a run, he'd look at me and he said, I'm about to have a FIT fit. Amen. And I'm telling you, boy, you have one of them and you'll know it. It'll cause you to take a lap or two. It'll cause you to shout a while. It'll cause you just to rejoice in the Lord. Amen. So I'm telling you, that's, David says, I'm in a place that is sacred and I'm overwhelmed by its sacredness. But not only that, I'm overjoyed because of its sacredness. Look there in verses 6, 7, 8, 9. He talks about pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls. Prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions say, I will now say peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I'll seek thy good. David is saying, because of this place, I'm overjoyed that I get to be in this place. Amen. I mean, you know, sometimes we come in, we're going to go to church again. We ought to be overjoyed. There ought to be a an overwhelming and overjoying experience. It's a sacred place. And man, to know that you've been in the house of God, to know that you've met with the Lord of heaven, to know that the King of all kings has come down and graced us with his blessings and his glorious things here this way. Woo! We ought to just get excited about that a little bit. Amen? We ought to. David says it's a simple place, but it sure is a sacred place to me. Let me say this last of all. I believe you could say, and David could say, not only is it simple, not only is it sacred, but don't you know this is a special place. This ought to be a special place. I mean, you know, there's people, they'll come in and tell you, hey, man, guess where I got to go? And I've heard it, all of you heard. You know, I've heard people come in, they'd say, I went to Neyland Stadium and saw the Tennessee Vols. And they were impressed by that, and rightfully so. I mean, 105,000 people screaming their lungs out at a football game. That's, you know, that's unusual. I've heard people come in and say, man, I got to go down to Athens, Georgia, and went between the hedges. Woo, hallelujah. We was out there, and we seen that bulldog and, you know, all that stuff, right? I mean, and I've seen people that said, man, you don't believe, we went to the White House. And we got to see all of the great buildings. We went down to the Congress. We went to all the Smithsonians. We went here. We went, and that's impressive. Can I tell you, friend, those were special places. Hey, several years ago, we were blessed to go into the special place. You've seen it on television probably here recently. That golden-domed mosque of Omar over in the middle of Jerusalem. I got to go inside that building. And that's an impressive thing. But can I tell you, man, more than anything, those things might have been special. But can I tell you, right here at the house of God is the most special place. I mean, this ought to be, you get to come here, and you know, sometimes we come and we go, and it becomes so regular that you just don't think very much about it. It becomes routine. It becomes mundane. It becomes, oh, well, so what? But thank God, when you come in here, you're in a special place. David expresses that. He said, I was glad when they said, let's go down to the house of God. Amen? Any of y'all get up this morning and do that? I mean, man, what about coming to church? How special is this place? How special is this place? Well, preacher, why should this place be any more special? Well, let me tell you. First of all, here you're going to approach the sovereign of all heaven. When you come into this place, hey, you're here to come and approach the throne of heaven. You're here to be blessed and to worship the King of Kings. You're here and you've made an approach to the sovereign of God. The sovereignty of God. You're here in the middle of the very best thing that could ever happen in your life. Amen? I mean, you're here. And this should be a special place. This should be a special place. As I said, it's a sacred place, but it ought to be a special place in our hearts. You ever had one of those little special places that you like to go, that you like to visit, that you like to be at, and you think, man, this is my special little place? Oh, can I tell you, thank God that the Lord has blessed you with a special place here at Old Bethel Baptist Church. I mean, listen, it ain't like everywhere else. Amen? And I'm not downing anybody else, but I'm saying this is my special place. I get to come in here and see some of the finest Christians. I get to hear some of the greatest singing. I get to hear some of the good testimony. I get to hear good Bible teaching in the Sunday school. Thank God. Hey, come on. Let's come in and make this a special place. And let's realize that it is a special place. It's special because, man, you're going to approach the sovereign of God. But not only that. I mean, look, when they were there, they went and they saw at that place where David is describing, they went in and they saw the Ark of the Covenant. They saw the temple itself. They saw the sacrifices. They saw the priests. They saw all the little instruments that they could see on the inside of that building. And it was special to them. If you remember, Jesus goes down there several times and he takes his disciples with him and they walk around and Jesus talks about that building that they are at, which is not the original temple. The one they were at was the one built by Herod in the days just previous before Jesus' birth. But, I mean, he said, look, we're in this place. And everybody, oh, this is a special place. They're looking around. They're looking at the different gates, and they're looking at the different places. They're looking at all that stuff. And you know what? Brother, it was special to them. When you and I come in here, we ought to be kind of looking around and realize how special this place is to me and you. Because you're here in the presence of the sovereign of the universe. But not only is it a place where you get to approach the sovereign, hey, this is a place where you get to assemble with saints. You and I get to come together in this special place and enjoy the fellowship and the worship with each other. It's special. It's special. When we get to hear the special singing, when we get to hear the preachers preaching, when we get to hear the teachers teaching, when we get to hear all of the testimonies, all those, man, it's special because you're here with a group of God's select saints, and man, you're getting to worship Him that inhabits the fullness of heaven. And brother, we're here with each other, and listen, you're my friends, and it goes beyond that, you're my family, and we get to spend time together. We can smile together. We can cry together. We can pray together. We can sing together. We can worship together. Brother, that's family, amen. And I'm telling you, when you come to this place, and I want you to know this, boy, when you're not here, I do miss you. Now, I'm like every other preacher in the world. I can look out there across the benches and the places, the pews, and I can see who's not there. Amen. Whether I got my glasses on or not, I can still miss you. Amen. If you're not in your place, I can miss you. I can tell. I can see a spot. And now, some of y'all like to move around a little bit, but I can hunt you down. Sister Connie Wilson talking about that Wednesday night. She said, well, this is my Wednesday night spot, but on Sunday morning, I'm over there. And I'm like, okay, well, that's all right. But I'm just telling you, you can tell when folks are missing. And some of you do the same thing. Well, where's so-and-so? Where's so-and-so? Let me just tell you, friend, hey, this is the way God intended this to be. It's for us to come together and assemble as the saints of God. Amen? He intended it. David said, look, I was excited. I got to go up to the house of God. And while I was there, oh, I got to go up where the tribes were, all where all of God's people were gathered together. Now, there's times we get to go to different things, different meetings. And we were at one here not too long ago up in the Smoky Mountains, and there were somewhere between 3 and 4,000 people that were, I'd say, rather like-minded. I'm sure there's, well, there was some that was lost there, but and some of them got saved. Amen? But can you imagine that? 3 or 4,000. Can I tell you, one of these days, we're going to pull into heaven, and when you get there, you're going to be with the saints of God. You wouldn't be there if you're not one of the saints. And when you get there, there's going to be shouting. There's going to be rejoicing. There's going to be reunions. There's going to be an excitement like you've never seen in this world before. But you know what I want to do while I'm down here? I want to get tuned up a little bit before we get there. Amen? I think we ought to come to this place. And I think, as I say, being connected by all the things that you see, and by getting to go to the house of the Lord. Does that excite you this morning? Does it stir you? Does it make you want to go to church? Amen. I've been in places, and I've heard people say, as they got finished with the service, go out and say, now, we went to church today. Boy, you and I ought to be able to say that every time that the amen is said, and we start heading out the door. Somebody ought to say, preacher, I felt like we went to church today. Amen. Every one of us that are saved ought to be able to say that. Why? Because David said, I was glad. I was glad, 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 glad that I got to go to the house of the Lord. You glad about God's house this morning? Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing some song, if you would, today. We're going to give you a chance to come and get some things right. Come pray about some things. Just get excited. Whatever the Lord may be doing for you, I don't know. But if you would this morning, while we all stand, we get ready to sing this song here in just a moment. Listen, God's doing something for you. God's done something for you. God's wanting to do something for you. And it's because we're in the house of the Lord. Let's all stand, if you would, this morning. What are we going to sing, Brother Ronnie? Page 354. While we get ready to sing a verse of this song, if there's anything, anything.